Hello, I'm Elton Mooner, and welcome to the first edition of Bearing Up When the Chips Are Down. In a moment, I'll be in conversation with Emma Kenny, resident psychologist on ITV's This Morning.
Hi, I'm Emma Kenny, and I'm going to be talking all about my feelings towards the hospitality industry, the current situation, and of course, mental health of everybody who is affected. So expect some rage and expect some ramblings.
In future episodes, we will help you understand the importance of looking after yourself, your personal well-being, so that you are in the best possible shape to make really good, sharp decisions. You'll also discover why innovating, and innovating with urgency, is incredibly important at a time like this. Before we meet Emma Kenny, I want to ask you a question. How are you? No, really, how are you? How are you feeling? The next half hour may help you understand what is going on. The helplessness of not knowing how long this damn thing's going to last. The feeling of fear that things have changed irrevocably, forever. And the feeling of grief this evokes, or sadness, or frustration, or anger. Listen, pull up a chair, make yourself comfortable, and drop in to a conversation with myself and Emma Kenny. Emma Kenny is a psychologist, writer, media commentator, and resident psychologist on ITV's This Morning. She contributes regularly to publications including Grazia and Cosmopolitan. You will hear her all over the place on the radio, BBC Radio, Heart, Magic, LBC, Scala. Also on Talk Radio, where I contribute a weekly hospitality news roundup. And right now, she is on this podcast, Bearing Up When the Chips Are Down. Welcome, Emma, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Lovely introduction there.
Oh, I spent hours writing that.
Well, you've done a very good job.
So we're in the hospitality business is in a bit of a crisis at the moment, as you well know. And I've had a very long and fruitful career, but there are people who are struggling, and I was just wondering if we could have a bit of a chat about that.
Yeah, of course. I think it's awful what's happening to the hospitality industry, much like the creatives industry. It's appalling.
It just seems to be going from bad to worse. Just to start, I'd like to paint a bit of a picture, because this is a problem that is hitting everybody in hospitality, across, you know, wherever you are in the business. Imagine being employed in the hospitality industry, but you're sort of full of fear of looming disaster. Now, this could be an entrepreneur who's spent a lifetime building up his business.
Exactly.
And, you know, he fears seeing it. It could be somebody who's started their career, and they've got to a point, then he's in fear of losing his job, or simply you get your hours cut and you can't afford to pay your rent. So
exactly.
There seems to be so much fear at the moment.
I think that the hospitality, much like the creative industry, has lost on both levels, because first of all, there was fear about the actual virus itself. So therefore, hospitality in itself, you work with a lot of people. Therefore, when we hadn't locked down, people would have been worried and scared about that. And then obviously now it's fear, because everything, in spite of the cases going up, deaths going very much down, and evidentially seeming that we should just get back to some semblance of normality, now it seems to be even further restricted. So it kind of makes people feel unsafe on both levels. Level one is, at the beginning, what were we facing? Level two, oh, we know what we're facing, but now we're facing something that imminently and long-term feels a little bit more dangerous than even the original anticipatory fear about the pandemic, which is that we are literally crippling creative thought in hospitality industries, entrepreneurship, and also jobs for so many people who've spent years perfecting their craft. You know, I think hospitality is one of the most challenging places to work at the best of times. You always have to be on your best behavior. You have to think the customer's right most of the time, even when very often they're not. You have to also think about how you're going to make yours different to the next so that you're the one taking in the revenue. There's a whole host and heap of really creative tools and strategies that people like you have cultivated over the years to suddenly take all of that away and then to have a dole queue that's going to be maybe 3, 4, 5 million. That's a really scary place to be, both mentally and also on a physical and practical health, economically and socially and familiarly. It's all of those big stresses all in one place.
And how can people cope with these fears? I mean, I know that between you and I, we can't magically make everything better, but how can people cope with these fears?
One of the most important things that you have to do with any stress experience is figure out what's yours and what's the world giving you. And obviously it feels equally the same. You know, the fact that you might lose your job, that's definitely a strategy issue that you can't control at times because you are not the one making the decision. And to some degree you go, well, that makes me feel really stressed. And I understand that, but actually you've not caused it. And that doesn't help you financially, but what it should do is help you to say to yourself, you know what, that stress that I'm choosing to have power over me at the moment, I don't really need to accept that. I can say, I didn't do this. This has got nothing to do with me. It's no failure on my part. This is all about things happening to me from the external world. And that, even though it doesn't take away the experience of facing it, it can help you not feel that sense that you have somehow caused this. And a lot of people do that because we seek to control our environments. Mm. The second thing that I suggest is, yes, these problems exist and you might lose. And I'm not going to pretend that that's easy to deal with. But what I would say is there are examples of humans everywhere who lose. It happens all the time, every day on a micro level. You lose a job, you know, you annoy your manager and you get sacked. All of those things happen on a micro level to people every single day of the week, all through the decades, all through history. So you've got to also say to yourself, well, this is something that people cope with. They make it through. They find new ways. They figure things forward. And the other thing I'd say is one of the most chaotic times of life often is the most creative. So whatever thoughts that you're having around this now, think more strategically. Instead of fearing the actual implications of losing your job, start strategizing over what that would mean and how you could kind of counter it with new objectivity and opportunity. What can you think about career-wise that would appeal to you? What are all those multifaceted skills that you have? And you'll have them in oodles. Kind of do a pen portrait of possibility regarding practicalities of jobs that you could look for. And then think about actually sending out that CV to people's positions and whoever you want to kind of get yourself feeling that you're coping in a more strategic way. That can help. And then obviously, you know, definitely exercise, definitely meditate, definitely put good stuff in your body because that's what you get out of it. Reach out to people that you need to talk to. And also know that this is fundamentally unfair right now. And you're probably going to feel really angry and a bit rageful at times. And that's completely human. Just make sure that you find a place and a space where you can have some solitude and soothing and peace because you need that at this moment in time.
Now, there is a sense of being overwhelmed as well.
Yes. You know,
the impact that this virus has caused on people, and this can be, again, you know, at all levels. The big boss of a company, for example, he's got safeguarding sure. responsibility of thousands of people perhaps and customers, and I suppose that big bosses don't always like to say that they're overwhelmed. You know, a restaurant manager may be overwhelmed with you know, everything that he's got to do. The cleaner could be, and you know, because of the pressure on him or her for making sure that everything is right. It is. It's a blooming awful situation, and people do just feel overwhelmed. And I'm just wondering if you had any advice or how people could cope with that feeling.
I think that feeling of overwhelmed is just such a common experience where anxiety is concerned, because you tend to feel like you catastrophize. So you start thinking about the bigger picture, the worst case scenario, and it's really hard not to do that at the moment. But often those worst case scenarios don't play out as you imagined. And often during the experience of worst case scenarios, when they do play out, you tend to learn as you grow through it. So even though it feels, when you look at the big picture, terrifying, as you kind of go through it, you figure strategies and sources and you manage those kind of feelings in a more effective way. So you almost want to pull back from the bigger picture and come back to the moment-to-moment experience. And I think that entrepreneurs and big bosses and people who are in charge of lots of people, fundamentally, you also have to be able to say, I'm doing my best. That's so important. Your best might not be somebody else's good enough right now. And your best might not give you the result that you would ideally choose for yourself and your staff. But that does not mean it's not your best. You've tried what you can and you've done what you will, and you would change it if you could. And just knowing those kind of stalwarts and foundations of what makes you that human being with that kind of integrity, those feelings that you have come from a place and a position of care. So actually you have those feelings because you're a good person, but they're not healthy or helpful for you right now because you're doing your best and you wouldn't do it this way if you had the option not to. So to some degree, it's stepping back from that personal and it's going back into that complete professional and saying, this is what you're confronting and you have to manage it in the way that's going to work the best for your company. Because even that means job losses, even if that means closures at certain points, the point is that that can still come back and grow as long as you give it an opportunity to be put into a position where it still has the safety for growth. If you just carry on doing what you're doing and actually it's going to cost you to a point where your company can't continue because you're trying to, let's say, retain all jobs, that's going to be a problem in the longer term because you won't be able to grow and invite those staff that you cared for so much back into that picture. And then the other thing I'd say is that everybody at this moment in time is thinking very often about the I and not the we. So people are thinking about, well, how does this affect me? But actually, the best kind of humans are people who think about the we. So if individuals in those positions are having those kind of fundamental feelings and fears, it's because you're a really good community-based human being. And don't use that against yourself psychologically. Don't say, well, I'm a failure because I can't recognize that you're a good person and you feel deeply and you care deeply. And that makes you a really good boss. But just know that you have to have that clear-cut boundary of what you can control versus what you can't control. And the other thing I would say is I'm a massive believer in mindful practice. It's what I do every single day. And that might be something as simple as just going and sitting outside and listening to nature and attending to the present. It's just like making sure that I'm just having a momentary experience of now, or doing something a bit more formalized like yoga or meditation, things that allow you to just zone out of the future, which everybody is trying to control massively, which is always redundant because you can't really do anything about it. You've not got that opportunity until you're there. But just kind of allowing yourself to take a step back and breathe through it, that can really help as well.
So real connections between how you deal with fear. Yes. and that sense of being overwhelmed as well.
Absolutely. And also, you know, it's really weird at the moment because I feel like people aren't talking about the obvious things. Like, human beings need each other. We need to see each other's faces. We need to see each other's faces and expressions. We need to smile. We need to have conversations with our neighbors. We need to go into shops and chat with strangers. That's what keeps us alive. So the hospitality industry isn't just an industry that we need to keep because we like a meal out or we like a drink at the pub. That's not what it's about. The hospitality industry means that people who are socially isolated, and social isolation is the biggest killer, believe me. So therefore, those individuals who would otherwise be sat by themselves in a flat, maybe not in the best situation because they haven't got a lot of family, they can walk into a pub anywhere and they can just have a chat with somebody normally. That is something that is essentially a lifesaver. It's a lifesaver. Yeah. So when people think about hospitality, and we have fools and big name people who are fools, in my opinion, saying things like they should just get over it. They should just retrain. They should just do whatever, you know, to deal with the fact that this is just happening and just manage it. That's so disrespectful to all the people who need it. It's not the hospitality trade that is the important focus, even though it is what we're discussing now. What's important as a focus is what that trade does for human beings who don't necessarily have the opportunity to connect in other circumstances. It's pivotal in their mental health.
Yeah, so there is a connection there between customers and, and people, but also the people within the business. I mean, I sense that there's loneliness within the hospitality business at the moment. You know, as an example, that they often say being the leader of a big business can be a lonely place, and
definitely,
and often they will find compassion or solace, whatever the word is, when they meet other people in similar positions at the, at the sort of networking events. Well, they're not happening. Or you could be a chef working in the business. You want to go back to Spain to see your family. You can't because you've got to self-isolate for X number of days, and then you're stuck here missing your family. Or you could be, your hours have been cut so much. You normally love a busy, bustling environment, but actually you're stuck at home, so you lose that interaction. Actually, if you're in the business,
then loneliness is just a killer. It really is. I mean, like the NHS have always, until this year, where miraculously we seem to have stopped talking about it, which kind of blows my mind a little bit, because I can point you to a million journals which all evidence that social isolation and loneliness are probably the most profoundly, dramatically devastating for people's mental health and well-being and physical health and well-being. But I don't know, somehow nobody's having that conversation right now. It's quite strange to me. I'm sure that I'll be able to hold people to account in the future who didn't come out and say those things. But loneliness is a powerfully destructive feeling. It's not one that you choose, obviously. Lots of people like solitude. That's fine. That's healthy. That's what you want to go and do and what you want to go and have, you know? But loneliness, really, when we actually aren't choosing it, it's destructive beyond belief, because it means that we are doing the exact opposite of what a well-adjusted, typical human would do. And that is spend our time with other people. So when you meet people who understand your position, such as you were saying about networking, understand your experience life-wise, you get those relationships, you get those relatability exercises, and they're really powerful. They make you plug back in. And if you don't have that, you start feeling like you're in free fall. At the moment, I think a lot of people are just in free fall. It just feels so outside of the ration of reality. I think actually one of the things that blows my mind at the moment is I get science and I get all the stuff about medicine. I get it, you know, I get it all. I see it all. I read about it all. But the point is, as a human being, we are instinct-based. We are instinctual. It is how we survived. You know, the medical model actually did not exist most of humanity, and we survived. And scientists didn't exist most of humanity, and we survived. You know, we actually can survive in different ways by using instinct. And right now, the people's instinct is very much in a place that it's not used to, because instinctually you're meant to be surrounded by people that reflect you and connect with you and that make you give you a sense of worth. And if you don't have that, it's really destructive, because you're an animal. 98.8% related to your cousin primate, the chimpanzee.
They
do all day is play and have fun and enjoy sex and all the things that go with being a great animal. And we don't seem to follow that instinct, and it's so damaging. And it's right now, if there was one thing that I would be saying to people, it's like, what is your instinct telling you? Because it feels like there's a lot of people not listening to it, but really feeling the impact of not listening to it.
I get that completely. And I think also there's that, you know, on the loss of connection. I'm not a psychotherapist, you are, but I wonder whether it's almost going into a sort of stage of grieving, you know, that loss of business, loss of income, loss of, I don't know, friends, doing things, camaraderie, just the way that you normally do things.
Loss of trust. I think it's just on every level. I think loss is probably what this country will remember 2024, and not loss through a pandemic. Loss as in loss of a sense of connection, loss of trust in people that we believe are meant to be trustworthy, even loss of friends because we've had a different narrative, maybe loss of business without a doubt, loss of our children's financial future security. You know, it's going to be all of those things. So loss definitely plays into that. And I think even though on one level as a human being, I know that we don't need much to be happy. I really believe that. You know, I think that I would be really happy living on a trailer on a piece of land and just growing my own veg. I really have no care for big houses or nice cars. It's just never been my thing. I know what makes me happy. It's connections, it's people, it's eating well, it's living around people that matter. That's what makes a happy human. And you can create that pretty much anywhere, whether you're a billionaire or you've got a very small amount of money, it's possible.
Yeah.
So happiness has no relation to what you earn, so to speak, even though money clearly makes it a little bit more easy if you're struggling, because you can then pay for things that give you the best kind of care. But if you actually think about it on the bigger macro level in a Western capitalist state, your job is your connection. You know, your job is your friendships. You know, you kind of go into work and you have these solidified experiential connections that make you feel connected and grounded. And when you fall, there are people who are going to catch you on that way down. That's the ideal. That's what tribes are meant to do. And yet instead, at a time where, if anything, we need each other more than ever, we're being ostracized and isolated and forced into situations of submission. So loss isn't just now about all the things I said before. Like, loss is now about freedom. And if ever there was a moment in time where you should be waking up at night and thinking about those things, as opposed to loss of jobs and stuff, it's loss of freedom. I think that really the hospitality industry is where our joy lives. If we lose that, what are we saying? You know, and if we lose the arts, what are we saying? I just think people aren't thinking about that bigger picture. You know, I've had some of the best times being out at a bar or being out at a place of a restaurant surrounded by people that I just look at and think, I'm so lucky to have you in my life. You know, you guys matter. But it comes from that reflection in those moments that I've shared with people, bringing me a nice glass of wine and feeding me delicious food, or at a bar watching my friend dance drunk, you know. Those moments have such connection and nostalgic reflection. And I think as we grow into this more individualistic me society, we're losing sight of the very thing that makes us happy and healthy.
A friend of mine sent me a text. We have touched on this in the conversation previously.
Yeah.
A friend has sent me a text the other day saying, I've been let go today, another casualty of government COVID strategy. He's, you know, two young kids. He's got a career based in this industry. That's all he's done. I sense a little bit of anger in his text, but it's really about how can he or other people maintain their confidence in their mojo. We've touched on it a little bit, but...
The most important thing to do is you are still everything that you were before you lost that job. And that's really hard sometimes to get your head around when you've not got the job anymore. But the job existed because you were great at what you did. That still remains. And then you've got to think about, okay, the worst thing to do in this situation is to sit and feel overwhelmed and sad and fearful. It won't get you anywhere. It'll literally get you nowhere. Instead, you sit down, and I do spider graphs with people around this. So I will literally put myself in the center. And then I will put like spider web, you know, spider lines out, and I'll just put like bubbles with all the things that I'm good at. I've done this so many times with my clients. And the reason for that is I'm going to create that pen portrait possibility of what could be next. So, okay, right now, hospitality might be a bit screwed. Hopefully it will rise from the ashes, or the government will be absolutely held to account for the disaster that they have caused. And at that point, they will hopefully get some financial recourse. But right now, this is where we're at. So for that individual, it's about sitting down and figuring out, what are my skills? What are my passions? What am I really good at? What bits of the job do I love? And then how many other careers exist within this kind of framework that can offer me a similar thing? So, you know, just because you've worked in hospitality doesn't mean that you can't go work in PR. There are lots of things that you can do skill-wise that are very similar. And also, never feel that there isn't an entrepreneur within you. Look, I think when I was at my worst, as in financially, my husband had just left me. I had two really little kids. I worked 3 days a week. I was on a really kind of average wage. I loved my job working for the mental health service I worked for, but I really didn't have a great deal of financial, you know, prestige, shall we say, in my life. And I was sat there and I thought, you know what? I've lost all of this. I'm going to pack my job in. And I literally packed my job in, because I realized that if I did what I was doing economically, it wasn't going to work for me. And if I stayed, I wouldn't have enough time to commit to myself to develop something. And I read this law, and it said that 80% of your success comes from 20% of your actions. It's called Pareto's law. You can extrapolate it pretty much amongst most things, like 20% of your, you know, 80% of your support comes from 20% of your friends, or, you know, 80% of your investments success comes from 20% of your portfolio, those kind of things. And it kind of is one of those things they extrapolate, particularly over economics. But I looked at it and thought, well, I mean, I can do that. I can look at my, what do I get most of my success from? And actually, you know, it was really simple. I talked, I listened, and I'm very good at solving problems. So I figured, why don't I just do that on a much bigger scale? You know, why don't I just start thinking about how I can do that with brand psychology? And why don't I think about doing that in the press? And literally within a few years, my economy was far better. And I also got to do something I loved. And anybody can do that. What is your 80% of success that comes from your 20% of your output? Focus in on all of that. It might just be that this person is utterly amazing with people. So, okay, that's a billion careers, from therapy right through to having your own communications company. You can become a director of your own company in half an hour. Like, you don't have to see other people as the permission base to your success. You will always have an option with entrepreneurship. And it might be hard initially, but it's so rewarding in the long time. And if I can do it, literally a very average person, incredibly average grades at school, one of the biggest truants they ever had at my school. Genuinely, the only thing I could say I could really took from that was I was very good at making fake IDs and I was good at selling them. So I could manage that when I was a kid. That showed me a little bit of entrepreneurial thought, right? But I didn't really succeed in any other area vastly. But what I did succeed on was people. And if you're good with people, you can do anything. So figure out, what's your 80% success based on your 20% of action, and then just extrapolate that and think that if I can do it, like I said, anyone can do it.
some brilliant and sound advice. Emma, you are registered with the British Psychological Society and the British Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy. You are also brilliant, and you are also the founder of a health and wellbeing social media app. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and where other people can hear you?
Yeah, well, that woman that I was talking about, the me of, like, you know, 12, 13, 14 years ago, 14 years ago, 15 years ago, actually, the me then was a broke single mom. I used to run every single night and couldn't go out because my husband and me weren't together anymore. I have a plant-based diet. I couldn't feed my kids really expensive, good foods because I didn't have an income to do that. I was really worried about their health and wellness. And also my husband had a relationship with one of my friends, which meant that I didn't have a social network. And I sat there one night and thought, what would I need to make my life better? And I figured that I'd need lots of free exercise videos, lots of free meditation programs, lots of free confidence programs, lots of free cheap recipes that I could do very quickly on a budget, and loads of advice and guidance from expert-led individuals. And I'd also like to talk to people, like a social network that felt like it was about being a healthier, happier human. And I thought, if I ever get to a place where I can create that, I'm going to do it. So for the last 4 years, it's cost me a lot of money and it's been really hard work, but Appy will be launched in about 5 weeks and it does all of those things. It also doesn't censor people either, because I'm not a megalomaniac. It will allow people, as long as they're not abusive, to have their perspectives. And I suppose if you can't beat them, join them, create an alternative, do it better for the right reasons. Don't share data, actually let people trust that it's there for that purpose. So it's completely free. Hopefully it will help a lot of people, and it will certainly, it's a nod to the single mum that gave me so much fire. She was really impressive. I'm really proud of her.
Brilliant. And that's out, and that's available in 5 weeks' time, roughly
five weeks' time. Appy. Yeah, you can just get it on Play and obviously the Apple Store.
Appy, brilliant. Well, the hairs on the back of my arms have been standing up throughout this conversation. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I think that you will have given a lot of hope and a lot of support to an industry that currently needs it.
Yeah, and find your voice as well. The final thing I'd say is, the narrative is always a major narrative, right? It's the way that the world runs. Like, these people will have a voice and they'll tell you this is the right way and so on and so forth. And it makes people feel helpless and hopeless and silent. But you're not. You're not silent, because one voice changes everything. As soon as one voice speaks out, it gives permission to other people to do the same. And then it changes the tide. I'm telling you now, we would still have slavery if one voice had not begun speaking out. We would still have terrible, terrible situations playing out all over the world if those voices didn't speak out. The worst thing about feeling helpless is you feel silent. You don't have to be. The final thing I'd say is, you find your voice, because you're being treated really badly. And if you imagine everybody in the hospitality services just starting to shout loudly, it would be a deafening roar. And there are lots of people like me who are 100% adding to that voice. So be aware that you're not going crazy, that this is not fair, and you are entitled to constructive rage over this situation.
Emma Kenny, thank you very much. That was Emma Kenny, resident psychologist from ITV's This Morning. Please press subscribe to this podcast if it was useful for you. This podcast was advert-free, sponsorship-free, and is funded in its entirety by me, Elton Mooner. To put it quite simply, I have had a long and rewarding career in the hospitality industry, and assembling the experts and producing Bearing Up When the Chips Are Down is my way of giving something back to an industry that has served me well at a time when the people in the industry could really do with a helping hand. Do listen to the other three episodes of Bearing Up When the Chips Are Down. And if the chips are down for you and you fancy a chat, on a strictly no charge whatsoever, Trouble Shared is a troubled halved basis. You can find me on LinkedIn.